Good morning. Good morning. Welcome everybody to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you'll turn in your bulletins, we do have a few opportunities to share with you for this week. Immediately following the service this morning, we do have Sunday school classes for all ages. We do invite you to attend. Tuesday, 7 o'clock, we have ladies' Bible study. A roll call is a Bible verse with the word great in it. A Wednesday, 6:30, prayer and Bible study. They'll be studying Isaiah. We do invite you to attend for that. There's a lot of good stuff happening there and hate to miss out on it. Thursday, 6 to 7:30, the teen portion of Crusaders is still ongoing. If you look down, we have an update on the building fund. We now have about $50,000 in it. That's encouraging. Baptist Children's Home project for the month of April is they're looking for Walmart and Target gift cards for the group home. So there's a basket in the back for you to drop those in on. Also keep an eye, June's around the corner here, and June 10th through the 14th is our VBS. The theme is Investigation Destination. I believe there's a sign-up sheet where you can look for more information on what jobs you can fill. Also, in the bulletin board in the foyer there, we do have a drawing of the building up there. If you have any suggestions, questions, or comments, please give them to the trustees no later than April 28th. And they're listed there in the bulletin. Parents, if you have anybody that's graduating 6th grade, 12th grade, college, or if you happen to be graduating, let Linda know today or write the information down on the piece of paper there and drop that in the offering plate. I have a thank you note to read here. It says, Baptist Christian Church family, thank you for allowing Lisa and I to come present our journey to the Amazon with you this past Sunday. Your words of encouragement and support were truly heartwarming, and we really enjoyed the fellowship with you all. I would like to thank you for your support, prayers, and abundance of love that was poured out for myself and the mission throughout our journey. You all displayed a strong interest in the mission and myself in a way that really drove me with enthusiasm the entire trip I was in Peru. Even though I have found a church that I love in Indianapolis, it's nice to come home to a church family. I will be seeing you all again soon. Thank you again. God bless. Caitlin McGee. Scripture memory for the week. It comes from the book of Psalm. It's from chapter 102, verse 27. But you remain the same, and your years will never end.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here to share with us. You like the way this looks up here? Oh, okay. They like you a lot better than me. Some of you are saying answered prayer. We're glad to have her and Chandler too, aren't we? They both do a good job and so appreciate it. We are glad that you're here this morning. And as you look at the plans out on the back, when we're talking about little ideas and stuff, somebody said, have you thought about a water fountain? And where's it going to go? And somebody else gave us another really good suggestion. Doesn't make any difference how small it is or how simple it is. Please, if you think of it, please get it to a trustee because we're certainly not going to think of everything. And this is a project for all of us, not just some of us, okay? So take a look at them and see what's going on and let us know. Melinda will be coming to Woodbridge on... tomorrow. She'll be moving to Woodbridge, and we'll find out what room and keep you posted. But, boy, there's a point of celebration. She's coming along very well, and that's just a stopover on her way home. So pray for her safe travel tomorrow and that all goes well. If you happen to think about it, on Wednesday afternoon, I'm trying to remember, it's either 1 or 2 o'clock, search committee is meeting with a man who is a really strong candidate for the position of CEO at Baptist Children's Home. We've been at this for about 2 years, and we feel like this man just really has a lot to offer. Would you just lift that up in prayer, please? You don't have to wait till Wednesday. You can do it anytime God brings it to mind, but if you happen to think of that Wednesday afternoon, we would really appreciate your prayers. And thank you for all your support. Let's just bow in prayer now. Let's begin to focus on God and ask Him to come minister to us. I want to share with you a note of rejoicing. As you know, this past week, Evan Bloom had some more surgery, and he came through with flying colors. Everything went just great, and he's doing fine. He's home now, right? Okay? And so keep him in your prayers for healing and all that, and praise God for what he has already done. Let's bow in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we bow in the presence of the Almighty, living, eternal God to give you the praise and the honor and the glory that is yours because of who you are. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for your care, your ministry, for all you do for us. God, you are so good to us all the time. And we thank you for this time to come before you, to worship, to sit and be still before you, to know that you are God, to let your Holy Spirit minister to us. And so we ask that in this hour you would minister to us in such a way that we would receive what you have prepared for us to make us ready for this coming week. We love you, Father, and we thank you so much for the ability that you give us to earn an income, for the blessing and security that you provide. We give our tithes and offerings to you gladly, and we'll watch you use them in the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Meet with us, Father. Teach us by your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please take your Bibles and open them to Psalm 102, please? Psalm 102. Going to be reading verses 25 through 27. Would ask if you're able that you stand in honor of the reading of God's word. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them and be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the way you have provided for us in these past days, the way you've watched over us and cared for us. And we thank you that we have the opportunity now to sit quietly before you and listen to the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. We pray, our Father, that you will minister to us as only you can do. Only you know how each one of these folks has suffered in battle against an enemy who seeks nothing more than to destroy us. Thank you for being strong. Thank you for being God. Thank you, Father, for all your provision. And we pray that you will teach us this morning those things which we need to know, and we would ask that you would draw us deeper into God, that you would help us to understand a little more about the great, eternal, infinite God we serve, the God who saved us. We thank you that you are a God who does not change. We thank you for your reliability. We thank you, Father, because you have ministered to us. But we would ask you to forgive us because we have not always recognized that, nor have we acknowledged that. And we have at times turned away from you and chosen to sin, to follow our own folly. We thank you that all our sins are forgiven in Christ and cleansed by the blood. And we pray that you will help us never forget to tell you where we have gone wrong. And we thank you that when we confess our sins, your faithfulness cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And our Father, we thank you for the way you have undertaken for so many of our number, so many different ways. Thank you for the great ministry that you have given, for the way you have provided. And our Father, we would ask that you would just watch over Melinda as she travels this week. We pray that you'll deliver her safely. We pray that you'll continue to bring strength and healing to her body. We ask you just to continue to watch over little Evan. We pray for healing and strength and praise you for what you have done. We pray that you'll continue to watch over all those, Father, who are suffering physically. You know their needs and you know what they go through each day. We would ask that you would just encourage them. And Father, there are those who are among us now who are battling the devil. There are those who are among us who are carrying heavy burdens within their heart, and you know them perfectly. And I would just ask that you would provide the encouragement and the strength. I pray, Father, that you would call them deeper into your word, even as Satan tries to keep them away. I pray that you'll heal broken hearts. I pray, Father, that you will touch lives that have gone astray and call them back to yourself. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us all of us, to be vigilant, to remember that you are a sovereign and holy God, and you demand our worship. So, Father, as we look into this portion of your word, we pray that it is you and you alone that guides us. We would ask that you would strengthen us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to start in Psalm 102 this morning, and we're looking at our unchanging God, the God who does not change. We live in a world where change often happens faster than we can click the remote. Often we do our homework and we study and we look for a product and we say, this is the one we need, and so we go buy it. And how discouraged are we when we get home, find out it's already obsolete? Don't you just hate that? It would be fun, don't you think, if someone would invent a no-change app? You just download it and everything stays the same. You don't have to worry about change. The problem with that is, by the time you get it downloaded, somebody would have changed it already. And in all of that, when you come down to it, it is comforting to us to know that we have a God who does not change. He is not touched by the ravages that cause us to be in constant turmoil. James tells us that there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, where God is concerned. God told Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. It's wonderful to think about those things, but how is that relevant to us on an everyday basis? I'm really glad you asked that question. I want to start with a definition by Mr. Grudem. I love to study him. He's so practical. And he says to us that God is unchanging in his being, in his perfections, in his purposes, and in his promises. That's also called God's immutability. It means he just doesn't change in any of these things. And that's comforting. Now, somebody could look at that that didn't have a spiritual background and said, so God might be just some gigantic automatron who's pushing buttons to just run the universe any old way. Well, no, that's not true. Because this is true, this part is also true. God does act and feel emotions, and God does act and feel in different situations. All through Scripture, anthropomorphisms, human characteristics, human qualities are given to God. God is saddened over our sin. God rejoices when we repent, and he feels the emotions that we feel. Actually, what is happening in truth is we feel the emotions God feels. God didn't get emotion from us. God gave emotion to us. And emotions are one of the things that God shares with us out of who he is. So what I'd like to do is just walk through these briefly and help you see how these are terribly important to us, but also how they're applicable to us. God does not change in his personality. That means that he doesn't change in who he is. He can't change who he is. You can always count on God to be God. It means he doesn't change over time. In the passage of Scripture in Psalm 102 in verse 27, David says, "You remain the same, and your years will never end." Now, if you make notes in your Bible, if you want to, and in verse 27 when it says, "You remain the same," well, that's God's immutability or his unchangeableness. And then the last half of the sentence, "Your years will never end." There's God's infinity or God's eternity. He'll never run out. People change. In fact, people have to change. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible tells us as Christians, it is absolutely necessary for us to change? We are being transformed into the image of Christ. We are to put on the things of godliness. We are to take off the characteristics of ungodliness. We are to stop acting like the world and start behaving like the redeemed of God. So we are constantly changing, and God would like for us to be changing for the better. That's important. How important? It is so important that we change inside our redemption after our salvation that God has said to the unsaved, "You want to see how it works? Watch somebody who claims to be a Christian." Now, that becomes very real and very pertinent to us on a daily basis because, listen, God says, once you are redeemed, there is a mighty change that takes place in your life. The indwelling Holy Spirit comes to reside in you. He begins then to open the Scriptures so you can understand them. And if you get salvation, if you understand what God has done for you and what Christ went through to purchase your salvation, then change for the better becomes the desire of your heart. You want to be like the God who saved you, don't you? Now, you see, that becomes pretty important to us when we come to the place in our life where we say, "Nah, I'm not ready to change," or "the change isn't that important. God understands how I am. God accepts me the way I am. You know, and all that garbage." There isn't any place that I read in Scripture, and if I'm misunderstanding, I'm open to instruction here. But when I read through the New Testament, what I get is that on the day of my salvation, things start to change. And so God expects that from me. And listen, here's the fun thing. Here's the really neat thing about that. I am being asked to let the Spirit of God change me over to be like a God who does not himself change in his being, in his personality. If he tells me today to be holy, and if he tells me today that I am to be conformed to the image of his Son, he's not going to change that tomorrow. I can count on that. I can count on God always being God to me. I can count on God helping me understand where I am is not where God wants me to be. God has someplace better for me. And even though there's change all around, I can always come back and say, God will always be a God who loves me. God will always accept me. God will never lose his patience with me. God will always invite me to come deeper into him. He will always have time for me. God doesn't need to change because God has no flaws. David says that in Psalm 18 and verse 30. As for the Lord, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. So I know that I have a standard that I can count on. God is always going to be God. And one of the wonderful things about that is I can always count on God to respond to what I need, to respond to me. The interesting thing is, and one of the comforting things that you need to know is that God always responds to us, but he never reacts. Do you know what causes us, pardon me, do you know what causes us to react to a situation? Being caught off guard. Huh? When we're surprised, when we're caught off guard, when something happens that's totally unexpected, we react to it. God never has to react because God's never caught off guard. God is the source of all knowledge. He knows all things. God knows how you're going to either react or respond yourself to the events in our life. But since God sees everything from eternity past to eternity future as though it's in his present, he's never caught off guard. So when you do something that's unexpected to you or someone else, God's already got it planned out and he responds to us perfectly. And you can always count on him to do that. The other nice thing about that is he will always act the way he's supposed to act. God will always treat us in the very best possible way. And when God comes to us, listen, when God comes to us to correct us, and when he first begins the process, it is a gentle, loving pressure, if you will. God comes and says, you've started to drift off course. Come with me this way. If we respond to that, that's as tough as it ever gets. But when we resist, God keeps putting more pressure and more pressure and more pressure. If necessary, God will put enough pressure on us to break our spirit of rebellion. That's a lot of pressure. But he always, this is what I want you to remember. This is the important thing. God always corrects us in such a way that it leads us to his very best for us. Nowhere in God's personality, nowhere in anything God is there second best. It's the ultimate in all that it is. And beloved, when God calls us to do a certain thing differently, when God says, you must change, God is saying, I am telling you to change so that you can experience what I have for you as one of my children. I want to try to come to you in a flawed world, and I want you to understand that even in a sinful situation, even the way you are right now, I know it, I understand it, and what I'd like to do is take that out of you that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you miserable, that bothers you because you know in your heart it's wrong. And I'd like to replace that with something better than all you could ever ask or imagine. That's what it comes down to. Why? Because God doesn't change in who he is. And so he can't say, well, listen, I know what's going on in your life, and I'm going to give you this, and then if you prove to me that you deserve it, I'll give you something better. God can't do that. And beloved, you need to see that when God brings pressure into your life, it is to change you for the better. It is to draw you deeper into him. We can also know, because God is unchangeable, how he's going to respond to us in any given situation. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know the Bible that well. No, I really don't know how God's going to respond to me. Well, here's a real easy way to remember it. God makes it very simple for us. Obey me and I'll bless you. Disobey me, I'll curse you. You follow me and I will keep pouring out blessings. I will keep pouring out the good. But if you don't follow me, you're the one turning off the benefits. It's not me, it's you. I cannot, because of who I am, I cannot waste all that I have to give. You see, God says to us, if I just pour out blessings willy-nilly on anybody that gives it their best shot, then those who love me, those who are walking with me, those who spend the time that they should spend in their daily life getting to know me and letting me talk with them are being ripped off. Because they're the ones who are actually obeying. And it is only those who follow me, who do not, as he told Joshua, as he told the children even after they were in the land, don't turn to the right or the left. You will not see my blessing there. So, beloved, you've been at this long enough, haven't you, to understand? If I'm harboring a bad attitude, if I'm harboring bitterness in my heart, God cannot possibly bring me peace. Can't do it. Whatever the thing is, whatever the conflict is, you know, the conflict can be between you and another person, but I need for you to understand that conflict between you and another person is because you are at conflict with God. God will always be who he is. God is always inviting you into him. God wants you to have the very best that he has to give. God wants us to understand, I know the way back. I know the way home. We can know that when we do right, God is there. And God gives to us what we need, and beloved, listen, when we do right, doesn't make any difference how small it is, when we do right, God is our greatest champion. God never says to us, oh, cool, and goes on. Did you know that? God never just passes it off and says, well, that's what you ought to have been doing all along. God meets us face to face, and he pours out the blessing that he has. He pours out whatever it is he has for us in those Niagara proportions, and he looks at us and he says, well done, well done. Here, let me share your reward. Isn't that cool? I like that. You said, this is fun. I'm liking this, and you're going. I heard somebody say you need to send a missionary to your face and let it know that you're happy about this. You ought to find this comforting. You mean that even if I screw it up, God's going to say it's okay and he's going to continue to work with me? Yes. He's not going to throw you out. You know why? He's the one that came to get you in the first place. He's not going to do what he had to do to draw you in and then throw you out just because you're working on change. But you need to make the effort. God's unchangeableness brings to us great comfort in the midst of a constantly changing world. But it's also true that God does not change in his perfection. God does not change in his perfections. Of the many things to study about God, this is a personal area where I like to spend time. I love this part. God doesn't and can't change in his attributes, his nature, and his character. That's what that means in all of his perfections. in all of God's attributes. You see, he can't change because he's perfect. He's always perfectly holy, merciful, just, gracious, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's always perfectly wise, and so on. David says that God's ways are perfect. Perfect means complete and lacking nothing in any way. Complete, lacking nothing in any way. So, you see, that means that you can't catch God in a bad mood. You can't catch God on a busy day. You can't catch him too busy for you. You can't catch him taking a nap. Or check with my secretary and make an appointment in the future. And do that. You can always count on God to be God exactly as you need him to be. Listen. The important word there is need. Remember? It's need. I did not say you can always count on God to be what you want him to be. If that were the case, I'd be preaching to you about something different this morning. Because we would want God to change to be the best he could be for our situation. That would be totally unreliable. God is always what we need him to be. And when we wander off, we need God to be righteous and holy and just and stable and unmoving, always abounding in grace so that we can always be brought back to exactly the right place. God doesn't always act like we want, and that's important to us. That's the way it should be. We can always count on God because this statement is true that he doesn't change in his perfections. We can always count on him never to contradict himself. Now, beloved, listen, that's so important because if you listen to what's being said today in the easy believism, in all the garbage that's going around under the name of Christianity and good Bible teaching, you'll find it's full of contradictions. I was with a group not too long ago, and the speaker was talking about apologetics or defending the faith. And he said to the audience, he said, I am an atheist, and I've heard you talking. Why do you believe the way you do? You know what? It was interesting because somebody started to say, well, the Bible, and he said, I don't believe the Bible. And they said, well, you ought to. It's history. He said, anybody can make up history. And he went on like that. And then he started to talk, and I thought this was clever. He said, you need to learn science, which is true. You do. Because you see, it's science that verifies all that God has created around us. But he said, this is it. He said, science will then lead you to the scriptures in which he doesn't believe. Did you catch that? And from that point on, he began to use history. And the way he changed it was, it's proven history. But the whole point was he contradicted himself. You can't use history. And what he said was, you can't use history to prove God, but I can use history to disprove God. Now, I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm trying to tell you this, and you need to hear it. There's no part of God, because this is true, there's no part of God that contradicts himself. What does that mean to you on a daily basis? Well, is anything that you're thinking about doing, is anything that God may be telling you to do, so you think, contradictory in any way to his word? To who he is? Is there any little part of it that makes you think, I wonder if that's right? Is there any little part of it that says, well, I'd have to do this to accomplish this? If it's out of character, if it's out of the nature of God, it is not God. And it doesn't contradict him anywhere at any time. Nothing in the New Testament contradicts anything in the Old Testament. Nothing in the Old contradicts anything in the New. God cannot be found to be messed up. You understand? And so if God is telling you, I think you ought to do this, then all you need to say is there any part of it that conflicts with Scripture or questions Scripture? Even if it means acting incorrectly to accomplish something good, God will never ask you to do that. He is predictable. God is predictable because he's unchanging. He will always act the same way. You can count on him to do and act and say the right thing. God does not change in his purposes. The purposes of God have to do with his will, his desires, and his reasons that he does what he does. And we'll talk more about this as we go along. God has set some things into motion that cannot be changed. God's law is one of them. Nothing about the law of God has ever changed, nor has it ever been revoked. When we talk about God's moral and spiritual law, it will always be the same. And God said this, obey me and I'll bless you. That will never change. Well, how come then, favorite thing of unbelievers, unspiritual folks, how come then God said to Moses, I'm going to destroy these people, and Moses got him to change his mind? That's not true. What happened then? Why did God not destroy them? Because Moses got the people to change their mind. You see, and we try to impart change to God in his nature, in his purposes, in his plans. Well, I understand, God, that's what you had in mind, but this seems to work better for me. God said, no, it doesn't. Well, this is the way I'm going to do it. And you have that option. It's not the best one, but it works. In Isaiah chapter 14, by the way, I'll just tell you while you're going to Isaiah 14. We're working through this on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:30. Come join us. Yes, we pray first, but that's not as scary as you might think. There's a really good reason why you ought to be doing that. And it has to do with something called life as we know it in America. We need to understand what a serious situation we're in. And the interesting thing is that even those of us who claim to be Christians and demonstrate that to some degree really aren't doing anything to encourage any repentance on the part of other believers or unbelievers. Think about that. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27, Isaiah writes this, the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? For years and years and years and years, God told Israel, after he'd given them the land of Canaan, do not turn away from me. I have blessed you. I have made you a powerhouse. You are the number one power in the world, and never was or will be another nation like you. And they became arrogant. And it started right after Joshua died. Did you know that? Because the entire time Joshua led the people of Israel, they did exactly what God told them to do in completely destroying foreign nations as they were told to do. After Joshua died, the scriptures say, and there was a generation that grew up that knew neither Moses nor Joshua, which means they quit reading the scriptures. And then you read throughout the Judges and throughout the rest of Israeli history that's recorded, when they went in to conquer an enemy, they conquered them, but they did not completely destroy them, or they did not take away their places of worship. They did not take away their Asherah poles. They intermarried with them. What does that have to do with this? God does not change His purpose. And His purpose is to redeem and to call out of ungodliness into godliness. And there's one way to do it, and that's the way He says. And think about this. Think about this verse. He's purposed. Who can stop Him? He stretched out His hand. Who's going to turn it back? Really? Find an army that can stand against God. Find a nation. Find a universe. See, we don't understand it. We don't get it. Beloved, listen to this. Listen. The Bible says very clearly that God is love. That's one of those things we've heard till it goes in and bounces around and leaves. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4, it tells us that the kind of love God has is totally others-oriented. God is constantly reaching out to others to draw them in to Himself. It is the ultimate self-improvement program. So what that means is that everything God does is to benefit others. Because He is a God whose nature is love, He is compelled by His love to create, to share, to provide, to protect. He's even compelled to redeem. And you, listen, you, if you are a Christian, a true Christian, you are the benefactor of that redemption for each of us. For each of us. Every day, God's unchanging purposes assure us that God will never lead us in the wrong way. God will never double cross us. God will never harm us. He'll never fail to offer us the very best. He'll never fail to offer us completeness in all that He offers. You see, as you learn more about God and His will and His desire and who He is, you begin to understand how all this becomes important. And then finally, God never changes in His promises. He never changes in His promises. That means all God promises, He delivers. Let me tell you something. That statement can be either negative or positive depending on your personal relationship with Christ. If you don't know Christ, all your unsaved friends, all the people that you know right now are going to hell. That statement is true. They will spend their eternity in a Christless hell. God will deliver the full benefit of His promises of eternal punishment to all the unsaved. There's only one other relationship that anybody can have with God, and that is as an adopted child. See, there are only two kinds of relationships. You're either an enemy of God or you're an adopted child of God. There is no middle of the road. The relationship makes that a negative or positive statement. Now, for you and I, the fellowship that we have with God determines how that's going to play out in our life. Because we're His adopted children, the promises that apply to all believers apply to us. But our fellowship can enhance that. Our fellowship can sweeten that. The way we respond to all that God says, can encourage him and does to share with us more and more and more and more. It's richer, it's deeper, it's fuller. The first promise that God ever made is as valid today as the day he spoke it. You know how I know that? Because people are still dying. That's how I know. And until the very last promise is completely fulfilled, God will continue to fill his or complete his promises. God says, if you ask, I promise it will be opened. If you come looking, he told Jeremiah, seek me with all your heart, and you will find. Find what? Whatever it is that you're looking for. If you knock, it'll be open. You mean I can be curious? I can ask? Yes. And I will open. I will show you. They will be fulfilled when God desires their fulfillment. Beloved, do you understand that God has promises that he'd like to fulfill to you yet today? Yet today? All you need to do is put yourself in a position to allow him to do that. There's an interesting thing about God's promises. I took a New Testament principle or a biblical principle and put it in today's words. All God's promises are equal opportunity. We get that, don't we? Does that mean, really? Even you? Yeah, even you. God says, whosoever will, and then you fill in the blank. If God promised, you rest assured that it's still fully functional to you and for you. Now, just very quickly, so what? You think, would have been nice in a theology class, but we're here to go back out into battle this week. Well, you should have picked up some stuff. Someone might say, is this really relevant to us on a daily basis? Because, I mean, we got it down. God's not going to change. We understand that. It would seem unimportant. It would seem unimpressive. Even insignificant on the surface that God can't change. Now, that is, until we come to the point, and some unsaved person could help you get to the point, where the question is asked, what if God could change? If God could change, then he could only change either for the better or for the worse. Now let's think about that for a minute, beloved. You say, I'm not sure God has the very best for me. Well, if you begin to think God could change, that God's unstable in some way, then he would change for the better. So that would mean that you and I have had less than the best for us up to this point. We've been working for something that's flawed. We can get that here, can't we? We're being told a lie. That's kind of scary. Until you think the only way, the other way God could change would be for the worse. And so God says, come to my son, I'll give you eternal life. And then he changes his mind and said, well, you know, that's just way too bad. Sorry about that. Now where are you? If God could change and he became evil, how would you like to follow him through your life and discover that he says to you one day, aha, only kidding. We get that here, can't we? We get that out of the world every day, don't we? You see, if God could be a different person, we'd have some serious issues. Suppose he could change in his purposes. Well, this is why I've set you on this course. It is my purpose over... Oh, wait a minute. I don't like the way that's working out. No, we're going to go back to square one. Well, then, does God really have my interest in mind? Maybe, maybe not. Suppose God could change in his promises. Come unto me, all you who are laden, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sorry, that was last week's deal. Now, how important is it that God doesn't change? Do you understand we're basing our entire eternity on that? And for those who walk with the Lord, for those who do what God asks, for those who do give their time to let God speak to them, for those who do bend the knee and the heart and with a broken and contrite heart come to God and say, thank you for your mercy to me as a sinner. Please, God, continue to work in my life. I trust you. You're an unchanging God. I know that I can trust you. I know that I can count on you. You see, this becomes very important to us because sometimes in our life, God's the only one we can really count on. Amen? Yeah. Beloved, you need to understand how vitally serious it is that we have a God who does not change. We can praise him. We can praise him now and throughout all eternity that he is absolutely and forever unchanging in his person, in his perfection, in his purposes, in his promises. And here's what you can live with this week. Because all this is true, you can absolutely rest totally assured that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the very end. Is that okay? Amen. Our Father God, oh Father, thank you so much that you are a dependable God. Thank you that you do not change in any way. And Father, thank you that you are completely committed to helping each one of us change into the image of the Savior who died and was raised again to eternal life for us. My prayer is, Father, that you will speak to us in such a way that no matter how soft or how calloused our heart, we get it. Oh, God, help us to see how important it is that we follow you in your unchanging love and grace. And we thank you. Thank you. In the eternal saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.